should introduce the show now.
Are you sure you don't want to do it again this week? Is that not what's happening?
You told me right before we started recording that you want to do it.
I know, but God, I've just been thinking about it.
Hey, so everybody. Welcome to Twin Peeps show, where I, Michael, and my friend Kyle, hi, Kyle.
What's up?
We talk about the show Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're going to be talking about episode 6 of Twin Peaks, which is called what, Kyle?
Cooper's Dreams.
Cooper's Dreams. Mm-hmm. I guess a little bit of a house cleaning before we get started. Is there anything from last week we need to talk about? Or
not that I caught when I was editing it. No corrections, no omissions, nothing like that. So I think we're all set to go.
Yeah. I guess one cool thing with the show is that now you can actually listen to it. It's now on the iTunes store.
Yes.
So
yeah, we're finally out of the backlog.
If you're hearing this, the show's been out for about a month and a half now. So I hope you've been enjoying it. And I guess maybe write a review if it's positive and report a review if it's negative.
Rate and review us. Yep.
Yes. I guess that's it. Oh, there's one other thing we need to talk about, which is our logo for the show.
Oh.
Which currently is just a picture of Agent Dale Cooper and Sheriff Harry S. Truman.
Mm-hmm.
And our producer, Dana, suggested that we dress up as two characters rather than poorly photoshopping someone's face onto it.
Sure.
So we need to decide which one of us gets to be Agent Dale Cooper.
Oh, fuck. Do you want to flip a coin or something?
I can.
Sure.
Do you call heads or tails?
Tell me when it's in the air.
It's in the air.
Tails.
It is heads.
God damn it.
So great. Who are you going to be since you can't be Agent Dale Cooper?
Well, probably Harry S. Truman, right?
I mean, you can be anyone. You can be Audrey. Mm-hmm. You can be anyone you want.
Yeah, I've been thinking about doing a middle part with my hair, trying to bring that back a bit. So I might actually try to go for Bobby.
Great.
That's
cool.
Yeah.
One of my favorite characters in the show. Fantastic.
Likewise.
All right, I guess we should introduce our two guests for today. We've got two corkers, is one way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
They are friends of ours from college. We have Eric and Billy.
You make that sound like you weren't sure about college part.
Yeah, I don't know if we should do this if you're not going to be concrete in anything you say.
Guys, this is the third time we've recorded this episode, and we keep having to re-record it, so I really think we need to just get through it.
Yeah.
Without a tantrum.
Okay.
Okay, no, that's fine.
I mean, the fact that you brought it up makes me think you're not ready for us, but, you know, okay, yeah, fine.
Unleash it. I'm ready. I've prepared two times. Anyways, I guess a good way to start out would be for you guys to tell us what experience you've had watching Twin Peaks. It's your first time, or if you've seen it 50 times.
I guess I could go ahead. I have seen all of Twin Peaks. I watched it about 3 years ago. I liked it a lot. I thought that there was a lot going on, and I pretty much never understood it.
Sure.
Ever since you invited me to be on the show, I started watching the first few episodes again. I feel now like I can just sit back and not worry about the mystery itself now that I know what happens. And instead I'm just kind of absorbing the weirdness that's going around.
Is it a lot better the first time or the second time around? Or did you like it more the first time around?
I've really enjoyed rewatching the show. I don't think it's necessarily anything is better. It's more just like, oh, right, I forgot that the Horns had a weird brother that brings sandwiches one scene.
Right.
And yeah, in this one he has the Norwegians and everything. The Icelandic guys.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
Kyle's a stickler on European nationalities.
Right.
I mean, there's so many to choose from in this show. There's, yeah, you name it. But yeah, like I've also seen some David Lynch stuff. I really like Elephant Man. It's a really great movie. I saw Blue Velvet for the first time the other day. I was really creeped out, but intrigued.
It's sounds about right.
Eraserhead, I will never understand Eraserhead.
Have you watched the entirety of Eraserhead?
I have. I saw it in high school,
man.
That was my first David Lynch experience.
Wildly too young for that.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Well, it's on YouTube if you want to go back to it.
That's true. I saw it at a Blockbuster, and it had the weirdest cover. And then on the back is just a picture of the radiator lady. And it just says in heaven everything is fine. And I was like, what?
Sure.
And I was like, I need to find out the answers. And I didn't.
I'm sure you already know this, but fun fact, the main character from Eraserhead is Jack Nance, a.k.a. Pete Martel.
Right. Yeah. My favorite character.
What?
Oh, Pete is great.
You don't like Pete?
No, I love Pete. Pete's my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I didn't know that was the guy from Eraserhead. That's news to me.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
There's Eric, a Netflix about documentary How's your, about him on a... Yeah. Yeah.
My experience, I've seen Eraserhead. I saw it in... To be filmy, I saw it in 35mm at a Cinematheque in college, and I had, like, a violent, like, physical reaction to it. Like, I couldn't stop shaking after I saw it. I don't even know what I, like, thought of it, but I was shaking. I watched Mulholland Drive for a class, and I was not a big fan of it. And now I'm watching Twin Peaks for the first time. I finished up the pilot last night, and then... Because of just busyness with stuff, I skipped ahead to this particular episode.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything. There's nothing you needed to know.
No. I mean, I tried to fill myself in.
No.
I imagine you can kind of tell everything that's going on.
I could. Like, it was nice to go from one European people to another in the hotel.
Sure.
And I was just like, oh, I'll catch up on that. And I'm really interested in continuing with this series and kind of developing a, like a hate watching relationship with it.
Them's fighting words, man.
It's not that the story's bad. I like the story for the most part. I don't like sometimes. I know David Lynch does it on purpose with most of his actors, but like. I hate that style of acting sometimes.
Shitty performances.
Yeah,
I get it. I'll use an analogy from the show so you guys can understand. It's like, why does Shelley keep going back to Leo? Because you're stuck in this relationship. You're like, well, maybe things will be better next time.
Right.
I was thinking about this the other night when I was rewatching the episode, and I was like, why? How did he even court her? Because he has no, like, ability to talk to anybody. Because she dropped, like, what was the conversation? Like, I love you. And he was like, I don't care. And she's like, I'm dropping out of school.
Yeah.
Is that it?
They never explain.
Where was their wedding ceremony?
Right. They never explain sort of his fall from attractiveness. But they do elaborate that he was a much different person when they first started dating. And then
I bet he started out like... I assume his backstory is you take what happened at the end of Joe Dirt, where Joe Dirt gets married to the girl.
Sure.
And now this is like right after it.
This is like a what if story, right? This
right.
is they're set in the same verse, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah, 100%. Somewhere Christopher Walken's walking around, and yeah.
I think it's a common trait in the show where there are a lot of couples that have relationships that seem impossible.
Yep.
Just a very evil person and a pretty decent person together.
That just won't do anything to get out of it.
Like right. Pete.
Like it happened this episode with the guy at the truck stop. I'm really bad with names. I'm going to preface that.
Guy at the truck stop. Oh, Ed.
James's uncle.
Yeah, Big Ed.
And then...
Big Ed, thank you.
And then woman with the eye patch where Big Ed was like...
Nadine.
She's sick.
Hey, you're getting it, Mike.
Can't...
Oh, she's sick. You don't even know.
I can't leave her episodes.
Oh man,
you skipped over some very important canonical moments with that character.
She's much crazier than you can imagine. Like she's.
It might sound like we're joking, but we are actually not.
How crazier can you get? She has an eye patch.
Well, there's some stuff in season two that I can't talk about yet.
Right. Yeah. Wait, no spoilers for Mike.
No. Yeah. Oh, I was about to ask. So you've seen the show, Kyle?
I have. This is, I think, my third or fourth time through.
Cool.
Yep.
How does it feel watching it this time?
I think I'm on the camp of enjoying it more on subsequent watch-throughs. Just being able to pick up smaller details, especially a lot of, like, the foreshadowing that from what I've heard of, like, the development, the actual production of the show got very tumultuous in the second season. Like, ABC was just not happy with how things were going, and viewers were also not happy with how things are going, and so they started making a lot of demands.
I mean, but, they also made 24 episodes for the second season.
Yeah, that made no sense to me. Looking at the Wikipedia page being like, oh, 8th episode first season, and then, like, bam, 24 for a 45-minute hour, like, 45-minute drama.
Yep.
Like, complex story. That's, like, impossible to make.
It makes no sense. Like,
I would like to come, if we can, if this show continues, I'd like to come back and just talk about the crazy stuff that has nothing to do with Laura Palmer's murder in season two, which is so much.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So, like, it's oversaturated. It's insane.
Yep. And that's, I think, if I remember correctly, especially in, like, the middle to back half of season two, with the exception of the last few episodes, David Lynch just wasn't involved. He was just gone from the set. And so it's a lot of the writers and directors that he brought on just kind of doing what they wanted to.
Was he making a movie, or did he just...
I think it was creative differences with ABC. They just didn't want him around. He didn't want to be around, and kind of... because they forced his hand with revealing who the murderer was too early. Like, he didn't want to reveal that when it happens. Yeah,
I mean, it was already revealed in Agent Cooper's dream, obviously.
Right,
obviously.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say no more. I'm still watching the show.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't want to say anything that.
Yeah.
That,
so let's get into it.
Too much. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kyle, we have our short summary at the beginning. Usually, there's a time limit, but Kyle said it's going to rhyme this time.
Well, you said that I wouldn't have to have a time limit if I rhymed it.
Yes.
So this is probably going to be the first and last time I'm doing this because it was a lot of work and I'm lazy.
Fire away.
So, and the prosody is also not great, but it rhymes. So here we go. The Icelanders want to buy an estate. Audrey talks shop and tries for a date. Leland asks Ben to give him a job. The blood on the shirt is actually Jacques. Hank gets parole, and Ed has reservations. Audrey gets working on her investigation. James tells Donna about his dysfunctional family. Cooper and Co. send out to find some red drapery. Maddie's enlisted by Donna and James. Jacoby asks Bobby if Laura's deranged. The Loganitz lady tell Coop of the night of fire and owls hidden from sight. Audrey discovers her father's affair. Leland must dance to forget his despair. Shelley shoots Leo, who's presumably dead. Cooper returns to a surprise in his bed.
Oh my gosh, that was fantastic, Kyle.
Yes. Yes.
And I heard you talk about the log.
Oh my god.
The all-knowing log.
Oh, so I think that's also on, we have on the phone, we have the log on the phone.
Yes, yeah. Hello.
Yeah, I'm very sorry that we didn't actually introduce you when we introduced Eric and Billy earlier, but how are you?
I am good. I'm glad to speak for myself, as I wasn't able to in the episode.
So, based on your accent, I'm guessing you're not actually from the Washington area. I assumed you were like a Redwood, or are you from... I have no idea where you're from.
No, I'm certainly a Frasier-fer. Couldn't you tell by I'm fancy like the show Frasier?
Kyle would know. Kyle?
I would know. Yeah, actually, I was detecting a little bit of some affluence in your voice, but
I
didn't
like
want
Joe
to presume
Frazier.
And I hope it wasn't offensive that we asked what variety of tree you were, but
I'll get past it.
Mr. Log, if I may.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I do have one question, and I hope this doesn't seem too personal.
No, go right ahead.
Okay, great. Well, I guess there's no easy way of putting this, but you seem to have been cut down.
The wretched loggers in town.
Yes. Well, I mean, there is a whole sawmill factory.
Factory, ugh.
I don't know if you've seen have you seen Twin Peaks, by the way?
I have watched it.
Yes, well, like, in the opening credits, they show logs being cut. Is this like a horror show for you?
It's horrific,
yeah?
To say the least.
I'm How guessing you're rooting that? For Catherine Martell most of the show. She's trying to shut down the mill, right?
Yes. Yes, she's the best character on the show, besides my handler, the log lady.
Now, oh, so she wasn't an actress. She was your handler.
Yes. We were kind of pulled out of the real world.
Right. Actually, I was going to ask...
David met us. David met us while filming the pilot, and we agreed to be on the show, and really my psycho visions kind of led the way for the story.
Sure. Well, I was going to ask, obviously the lumber mill is not a set that they constructed for the show. What, did that happen to be the lumber mill that you were going to be processed in or somehow stolen away from?
Why, yes. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was headed down with my brother-in and sister-in towards the final cutting, you know, the one where they split you down the middle, like in the old-timey movies where you're tied up.
It's called the final split.
The final split.
Sure, James Bond style.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and out of nowhere, the gracious log lady came. She said some nonsense drivel.
Did she, like, break into the sawmill during hours?
Well, she had expected to be attended to earlier, days ago, before it happened.
Mm.
With her visionary skills.
Right. So both you and her have possessed clairvoyance, as it were.
Yes. Oh. We kind of, we're like a combo. We're like
it's a shining
peanut
situation.
Butters and bananas. We're good separately, but together we enhance and fine-tune and sharpen the flavor.
Sure.
Well, we're happy to have you here. Thank you so much. Give us some good stories from, on the set, or you can chime in when we talk about some of our segments. I think we should get into our first one, which is the weirdest character in the episode. I guess I'll kick it to you, Billy, first. Who do you think was the weirdest character in this episode?
I mean, I love this actor. I think he's great. I gotta go with Ray Wise, you know? Leland Palmer, this episode. I think he kicks it near the end. He, like, kicks it up a notch.
There's nothing better than hearing jazz music start and being like, oh.
First of all, it's big band swing music. Let's be specific. Let's get it right.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Secondly, like, we're fine with spoiling the episode right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Does that music turn on of its own accord? Or is it like we're supposed to understand everyone in the room hears it? Or just him?
That was a question I was really wondering, because there doesn't appear to be a band there.
No,
well... That happened, like, in the third episode, too. The exact same music starts playing, but it's on a record. When the music starts, everyone kind of, like, looks and jerks up their head. They're like, what's that? And then he starts freaking out and starts dancing.
Right.
So I'm wondering if everyone can hear the music?
Yes. I would say that's... at least as far as when I viewed it, it seems like everyone was aware of it.
But did he start the music, then? Because it just starts
playing
in the middle of the speech.
No, he was just standing by himself.
Yeah, no,
he was standing
nowhere,
by himself.
He was nowhere
near. So who turned on the music in the middle of the speech?
Oh, man, I hope you find out in 2016.
Yeah. Probably the same person who murdered Laura Palmer.
Most likely.
The two biggest crimes. Mm-hmm. Any other strong nominations? I'd have to say the log lady, log your handler.
Yes.
She's pretty weird in this episode.
If Eric can pop back in.
Oh, hey, Eric.
Hey. I think she... I guess having... Does she been in the series up to this point?
Yeah.
She has. Because mm-hmm. For me, popping in after the pilot, I was very concerned about this woman.
Sure.
And why they would just agree kind of to everything she said.
I guess to catch you up...
And to why she took offense to cake.
There's one scene that you missed, which is... I think it's only one scene where they're in the diner and they come across the log lady. And right. She says, my log saw something that night. And she offers...
Yeah, Mr. Log, mm-hmm. Wait, can I pop in and ask Mr. Log a question?
No, that'd be great, yeah.
Yeah, what did you see?
Well, every night I roll about the grounds of my forest. It's my forest, I want to clarify.
That's okay.
Sure.
And... Really, I just see what the birds tell me. A lot of contact with owls and other creatures. And I guess with everything that's going on in the town, I've seen a lot of relationship hubbub and murders.
Right.
Yeah.
So you haven't, but, okay, so you still have not clarified. Did you see the murder of Laura Palmer that night?
You know, I don't want to spoil it for the fan.
No, well, don't spoil it for Mike. Right. Or for Eric, actually.
Yes, please, please don't.
Or for any of our listeners who aren't familiar with the show yet.
But if you did see a crime, you should probably report it.
Well, if the log lady would let me speak for myself, then I certainly will.
Yeah, that was something I noticed in the episode. She was very quick to kind of take over the speaking duties for you. I was wondering sort
of
what happened with
that. Seems like
you
speak very well.
Yeah. Are you?
Well, thank you. I do speak well.
Are you speaking now, or do you have a handler that you're speaking through?
I'm up here propped up right next to Billy and Eric.
Oh,
okay. Shit, there's a log next to us.
Oh, my word. Yes, hello, fellows.
Didn't notice
well,
it
anyways,
before, sure.
I, how shall I put this? I think I may have been a little topsy-turvy in terms of on the sap prior to that show's filming.
We were
so
coming
little
out
under
from
the weather
80s.
And
yeah.
The log lady insisted that she say my lines for me.
Was it like a slurring situation? Is that?
Yes, it's. You know when you're on the sap, fellas.
This is getting very personal. Is this the right podcast for this?
Yeah, I think this is more of a WTF type situation.
Well, I'm comfortable talking about it.
You've made it very weird right now.
Yeah. Ooh.
Just like I think it shows for weird characters. I want to say I want to give an honorable mention to weird character
Dr.
The
Jacoby?
Girl who. What's the girl who watches Leland cry behind the pillar?
What?
Audrey?
Bad with names.
Leland. Oh,
Audrey
Horn?
Yeah. At the end, she's crying and she's seeing him cry, yeah.
And then she's, like, in the bedroom at the end. Mm-hmm. She's just, like, generally very weird to me. She seems like one of those characters that you would, like, know in your high school that's, like, the girl who, like, will lead on and never, like... Hmm. Never, nothing happens.
Classic Audrey.
Yeah.
Classic Audrey.
It's become pretty clear, especially in the previous episode, that she's just in love with Dale Cooper.
Yes.
And that last scene was for the shippers out there. It was very gratifying to see
a naked teenager in his bed.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hold on now. This is actually something.
She's 18.
Right. This is something that, Mike, we should probably own up to. Up until now, we've kind of been assuming that she was, you know, more of a high school age, not a about to start college age.
oh, okay. That big difference between senior year in high school and freshman year in college.
Hey, in the eyes of the law, there's a huge difference.
Yeah, and there's a very formative summer between the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also in the eyes of Dale Cooper, he seems to perk up when she mentions that she's 18.
Oh, he definitely gave it the green light.
Mm-hmm.
There was
a
lot of flirting.
Right. A lot of flirting.
I guess this cuts closely into the weirdest scene. I guess...
yeah.
So
my weirdest character
was
just Log Lady. But we've already spoken about her, so... Weirdest scene time.
Kyla, what do you got for weirdest scene?
That was actually one of the contenders, was the Cooper and Audrey flirtation scene.
At the beginning or end?
At the beginning, mostly around the Audrey revealing her actual age. It's still weird, you know. It's still weird.
Her saying that she's 18, that wasn't even a significant point to me, because I figured she was either 17 or 18. In real life she's obviously in her mid 20s,
right?
So there isn't really an age that the show could have said she was that would have surprised me.
Yeah. As for secondary contenders, my first pick would be the Log Lady premonition scene. It's kind of cheating having her be my weirdest character, but when they're consulting with the Log Lady, that's just abject weirdness.
Yeah, I guess we should dive into that scene a little bit more, because that's probably like one of the most central scenes of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much in there. There's the sugar cookies. She won't let anyone have cookies until they drink the tea.
Yeah.
And I guess the two quotes that came up to me biggest was, the owls won't see us in here.
Right.
And as I've already predicted, I believe that the owls are spying on behalf of Leo? Or who? Who do I think? Dr. Jacoby. Dr. Jacoby has owls as spies. It's not that crazy in the context of the show.
It's not. That's the funny part.
Yep.
And I guess the other big line was, shut your eyes and you'll burst into flames.
Yes.
Is this just gibberish? Maybe there's a way to read into this, but it seems like gibberish.
It is and it isn't.
Okay.
So it's definitely establishing imagery, if not actually explaining it, or not explaining it very well. Not that it ever explains it fully, but it is kind of just furthering the use of, like, fire imagery, and fire now being sort of explicitly associated with devilishness and evil.
Eric, how do you feel about this scene as a completely clueless watcher like myself?
I thought it was weird just because, like, well, first off, I want to go back to that sugar cookie thing at the beginning where it seemed very conditional that they would leave if it was not sugar cookies. Like, they were ready to leave that woman in that cabin, like, if it was not that. They're like, what kind is it? And they had that moment where they're like, well, okay, we'll come in. And then, to take a late 80s rap phrase, word is bond.
Sure.
They really take it as word is bond, everything she's saying. They're like, okay, yeah, for sure, you're right. Except Agent Cooper, who's like, what? Like, we're just going to let this be what it is?
Yeah, if I can jump in here, I did notice something I guess I'd never noticed before, which is specifically, I can't remember the character's name. He's the Native American police officer.
Deputy Hawk.
Oh, when he notices a broken branch?
That, but specifically at the very beginning when they go into the log lady's home and she offers them tea or coffee. And Dale immediately is like, no, we're here on police business. And then he immediately silences him. And he's the one that initiates, like, we're going to sit down for sugar cookies and we're going to just shut up and let her talk. That was a moment where I was like, oh, like, everyone, like, kind of knows what the log lady's deal is in Twin Peaks. Like, she's this weird person, like, with connections to the spiritual realm.
She's an oracle.
Exactly. And I think that's something that's, I mean, now with hindsight and now I'm looking at the entire show, it seems like everyone in Twin Peaks is in on the game of, like, yeah, you know, sometimes there's, like, this weird spirit realm with red curtains and stuff, and, like, we don't worry about it, but it's there.
I think the Red Room is something unique to Coop.
Because it looks like his dream.
As far as people experiencing it, there's stuff with the White Lodge and the Black Lodge that'll be touched on
later.
It's
going to be big later.
There's definitely an acceptance on behalf of the townsfolk of just like, yeah, this is kind of how it is. With the Bookhouse Boys meeting a couple episodes back, Harry Truman mentions there are dark forces that exist in the woods, and everyone who's who has their wits about them at all would be like, oh, that's a strange thing to say. That's a strange thing for a 40-year-old man to say. You'd think he would just talk about one-eyed jacks, but...
Well, they're all on board, like, in the third episode, the one with at the end with Cooper's weird dream.
Right.
They're all on board with him throwing the rocks at the bottle.
Oh,
and they're
yeah.
like, yeah, this is totally how you solve a crime.
Right.
Just reading names in whichever one... is said when he hits the ball, that's the guy.
Right, exactly.
And it actually kind of works, too, so there's that.
Yeah, I'm very curious about the religious makeup of this town. Maybe not a lot of them are Christians. Maybe them are Wiccan witches.
Well, there was
kind of everybody across the board.
I think the only real religion we've seen is at the funeral for Laura.
Yeah, there's definitely some sort of Christian presence.
Yeah, it seems like non-denominational.
Lackluster.
Yeah.
I gotta say, like, the one character that I think sort of exhibits the most rational scientific thinking is Bobby's dad.
Oh yeah, we're huge fans.
Yeah,
we're huge fans of Bobby's
great.
Dad.
Such a good actor.
Garland Briggs.
That scene, oh, he's so good. The one scene, like, in one of the first episodes when they're all having dinner and his dad's like, is like, son, we know what you're going through and we're here to help. And he, like, starts smoking a cigarette and he just slaps him.
We gushed about continues. That scene. Yeah.
Oh, so good.
He's so understanding.
It's great.
Yeah, he's just the most zen military commander who happens to keep on his military regalia when he's eating with his family.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he becomes kind of important in season two.
Spoilers,
I mean,
man.
He has that moment in this episode.
I'm not saying anything.
He has that moment in this episode where, like, Bobby's just like, you've killed people.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it was in war, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, man.
Can I bring
actually,
up one more part about
that,
the log lady scene? I got one more note about the log lady scene.
Go for it.
This
go
is
ahead.
Such a minor note, but there are a bunch of weird profile shots in that where all the characters are looking to the right of the camera. Do you know what I'm talking about?
What? I vaguely remember it, but go ahead.
It happens three times where it's just a shot and it's every character. You just see the left, complete left side of their face. They're at a 90-degree angle. And they're in a line looking towards something.
Hmm.
It's really, really
weird. Oh, yeah,
weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Where they, like, all four of them pop into, like, the frame.
Yeah, it looks like a band photo. It's really weird.
Yeah, it's a very, like, old-timey quartet.
Yeah.
Barbershop quartet.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was a really interesting stylistic choice, and I've never seen any, like, very weird shots like that so far in the show. So I thought it was worth noting. I'm sorry, I cut you off, Kyle. You were going to transition to something?
Well, I was just going to say, was anyone's weirdest scene, did anyone's weirdest scene happen to be the psych session itself, the family counseling session?
I was going to bring it up, yeah.
Yeah, because we should definitely get into that.
It's great. It has all the characters I love. It's got Bobby. It's got Bobby's dad.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Dr. Jacoby.
Sure.
His mom's there. She doesn't do too much. But
right. She's the straight woman.
Yeah, it's got three characters I really like in there. And
those glasses.
And those glasses.
Yep.
Eric, you haven't seen
those chairs.
Eric, you haven't seen half of it. He lives in like a Hawaiian apartment where he drinks out of coconuts and wears Hawaiian shirts.
Keeps lockets in coconuts.
Yep.
He does all this stuff with coconuts.
No, I had a strong feeling from the pilot that he was just a very like weird like dude and that I should just kind of agree with anything he does.
Classic riff. Classic riff.
Mm-hmm.
He's fantastic. Anyways,
have you guys wait, just like an overall thing, have you guys talked about the fact that there's two West Side Story actors in this?
No, but that is, I knew that what is it, Russ Tamblyn, father of Amber Tamblyn?
Russ Tamblyn was Riff in West Side Story, and then Richard Boehmer was Tony. They were like the two main guys of that movie, and now they're weirdly acting opposite each other in some scenes.
Sure.
It's just like it's so weird that David Lynch was like going through casting the movie or the show and he was like, oh, West Side Story.
No, do you think that occurred to him?
Probably.
Maybe.
I don't think it was a coincidence.
You think David Lynch has seen West Side Story?
It weirds me out.
I hope so.
It weirds me out
every weekend.
If David Lynch watches West Side Story. That's very weird to me.
I want him to make a musical.
Ooh.
Would there be singing in it?
There'd be yelping.
Okay.
Right. It would just be the soundtrack from Eraserhead.
Well, no. Actually, to be fair, a lot of people sing in his movies.
Yeah.
There's
a pivotal scene in Mulholland Drive with singing.
Oh, and
yeah.
I mean, Wild at
Blue
Heart
Velvet,
has a lot of singing. Wild
bunch
Heart.
Of singing in Blue Velvet.
Yep.
Yeah.
But back to the family counseling session. Was anyone else just disgusted by how wildly unprofessional that was conducted, especially when he got one-on-one time with Bobby? And clearly just co-opted it to try and suss out some more information about Laura.
I thought they made breakthroughs, so...
With Bobby?
I think... Yeah, kind of, actually.
He got Bobby to sit down in the classic chair.
I think it was obviously super wrong. And when he said, let's cut the crap, that was
right.
Not what anyone should ever say in a psych session, but... He got him to cry, so there's that.
Whoa. This was a family counseling session.
Right.
To clarify.
Yes.
Yeah, family counseling.
I don't think that anything Jacoby can do is going to make me think he's a bad psychiatrist, because it's already implied that he had sex with Laura Palmer, so Yeah. He's true. He's an unethical psychiatrist.
I think it's implied that Laura Palmer had sex with everybody.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's one of the big reveals in this scene, which is that he says Laura wanted to corrupt people. She was making Bobby sell drugs.
Yeah.
And I guess that really feeds into Bobby's big speech at the funeral of saying how just like it's everyone's fault. Everyone knew how terrible Laura was behaving and everyone ignored it.
Right. But
I didn't know she was actively a bad person.
Yeah.
They talk about.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. They say Dr. Jacoby reveals that Laura told him about how Bobby cried when they first made love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like a huge. I forgot about that. That was great.
It just really casts Bobby in a different light. Especially that's the speech you were talking about. Like he is coming from a lot more of a wounded place, you know, rather than maybe less so a confrontational place.
Exactly. I'm so glad they're giving Bobby more to chew on. He's such a good actor. I want to see him do more stuff.
I in this scene, I don't think you have this as a segment, but like a scene I wish would have existed in this episode would have been Jacoby's one-on-one, because he mentions he's going to do one-on-one with the parents. I would have wanted to see the one-on-one with the mom, because I feel like...
So she could talk?
Sure. Yeah, it would have been super boring, but like super funny to just see like if that mom has an opinion on anything.
And by the way, it would have been totally like in line with any other scene in the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It would be bizarre with how normal it is.
Yeah.
Speaking of missing scenes, I think this is a good segue to our mystery bit for this week.
Ooh.
Which is I have the script for a deleted scene from one of the episodes.
Ooh.
So I've sent you guys copies. I believe you're all off book. Is that true?
Sure.
Yeah.
We can be off book if you want.
Great.
Yeah.
I'll do the scene directions.
All right, let's put the script down. Let's.
Yeah.
All right, the script is down.
So I'll do the scene directions. Log, if you don't mind, there's a part for you in this. So.
Ooh, I'm honored.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you speak for yourself finally. So.
Yes.
Yeah. You should know this. It was a deleted scene, but yeah. And right. There's parts for Harry and Dale. Mm-hmm. So, Kyle and Billy, you can discuss who will play each of those.
Do you have a preference for either character? I don't.
Well, I lost the coin flip for who's going to be Dale, so I think it's only right that I just take Harry's role on this.
Okay.
Great. And I'll perform the scene directions and any other characters that pop up. So, I guess we'll get started. Kyle, you have your copy as well?
Yeah, I have the PDF.
All right. Interior, Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Harry S. Truman fills out forms in the interrogation room. Dale Cooper enters.
How's it going, Coop? Heading there home soon? I'm not off book.
I think I'll stay here late. Those Icelandic monsters at the lodge are probably still partying the night away.
We could always come in and shut it down.
We could, but I have better plans for tonight.
What's that supposed to mean?
I wanted to bring in another witness.
Leo Johnson's bloody shirt falls out of the evidence locker and does the electric slide across the floor.
I'll bring him in.
I'll bring him in.
Dale walks out from the doorway while Harry munches on a donut. He spits it out when Dale walks back in, carrying a log.
Dale, what else can we get from the log?
I'd like to speak for myself.
Fantastic. Let's take a seat. Would you like coffee?
I'm a log. A bowl of water will do fine.
Okay, fine. What do we call you? Log?
Log is fine.
Great. So, Log, what can you tell us about the night Laura Palmer was murdered?
Owls flying. Birds chirping. Can the moon rise in the west? Two men, two girls, laughing, then screaming.
Oh, very interesting.
Did you actually understand that? I'm so lost. Were you there? Did you see anything?
I didn't see anything. I'm a log. This was in a dream I had.
Yes. I love it. Dreams are perhaps the best way to figure out inexplicable cases such as this.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
Oh, I'm not. Did someone put something in my coffee?
Just the normal stuff, Harry. Coffee, beans, water, and a healthy dose of LSD.
A terrifying man with long hair and one leg hops into the room and throws coffee onto the map of Tibet. Harry stands up and moonwalks to the map. He begins to wipe it down with a towel.
Harry, stop!
What?
Take a look.
We see that the coffee stain looks exactly like Leo Johnson. The three of them sit in silence for 5 minutes. Okay, I guess we'll cut to the end of that.
Right.
Right.
It appears to be Leo Johnson.
Or could it be his twin? Did you think of that yet?
He has a twin?
Sure, why not?
Harry picks up the phone.
Lucy, can you please send in Leo Johnson's twin brother?
Sure thing, Sheriff. The three sit in silence for 35 minutes. A man who looks exactly like Leo Johnson walks into the room. He wears an eye patch over each eye.
Hello. You must be Leo's twin brother.
Hello there. You can call me Theo. I'm technically Leo's twin brother, but I'm also 15 years older than him. How do you all do today? A mighty fine night it is.
We're all doing fine, Theo. Where were you the night Laura Palmer was murdered?
Laura Palmer was murdered? This is the first I've heard about it. When was it?
It was about 4 days ago.
Well, I must say it comes as a shock. She seems such a lovely girl. I must have been on the bayou at the time. See, I run a successful eel business in Louisiana. We sell the best eels in all the South.
Fascinating.
Wait, why do you live in Louisiana? And why do you have an accent? Are you from here?
My good sheriff, there are just some things that happen that cannot be explained. Like, for example, why is this log sitting in a chair?
Where else would I sit on the floor, uncivilized?
Well, if you don't mind me, I'm going to be heading over to One-Eyed Jack's to deliver a nice eel stew. Have a good night, everyone.
Goodbye.
Also, my brother probably killed her. He's a bad guy.
Blood begins to drip from the floor to the ceiling.
Well, that means it's time for bed. Have a good night, Harry.
Dale and Harry grab hands and skip out of the room, with Theo in front of them.
I guess this twin has really piqued my interest.
So Log looks into the camera and winks. So yeah, that's a...
Wow, yeah.
I know. Yeah, so thanks for reading that. We, it's a... Obviously a pivotal scene. Kind of changed the story a little bit, so... It's
probably yeah, how'd you get a hold of that?
I was talking to your roommate, David Lynch.
Really? I'm surprised he was willing to talk with you after the last few times.
Yeah, he doesn't like me.
How does David feel about you doing a podcast about Twin Peaks?
I don't think he understands that this is a podcast. He's been a guest on it.
Yeah.
But he doesn't understand the concept of podcasting.
I've never heard it. Like, I've never heard him listening to it. So I'm kind of guessing he's just blissfully unaware.
What do you hear him listening to?
Just Game of Thrones podcasts.
He doesn't know what podcasts are, but he listens to them.
I bet he listens to a lot of Angelo Badalamenti soundtracks.
Yeah, I hear that sometimes. He also just invites them over sometimes, and they just sit down on the keyboard, and he kind of just yells every so often. It's kind of obnoxious.
Yeah. Well, I guess we should probably move on to another actual segment and talk about the worst police work in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if that scene was in it, I guess it probably could have been that. But, what is the worst police work? Just the conversation with the log lady? Is there anything else that's worse than that? I mean,
that might almost be too obvious, but I think it kind of has to be.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Like, you're taking a lot of leaps of faith with that. No offense, log. None taken.
I'm trying to think of another thing. It's hard to say because there actually is some pretty good police work in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, they figure out the whole thing with the Penthouse magazine or...
It's not Penthouse.
Panties.
Isn't it like
Supreme
Flesh World
or
something like that?
It's Flesh something.
It's Flesh World, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. They find the poker chip and the cuckoo clock and make
that it... That was... Like, what... Mm-hmm. What was that? We forgot to talk about that.
You have to remember the dream sequence where she's from. The birds sing a pretty song. Therefore,
what does that mean?
Birds,
is that what that's supposed to be referencing?
I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Wow.
The cuckoo clock. Oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, it's really weird that a poker chip would get cracked in the first place. I don't know how that happened, but
or about someone would stick it in a cuckoo clock.
That's the more that's more what I'm interested in.
Or that the owner of that home had a cuckoo clock.
I think that makes sense. It's a cabin.
Yeah.
Every it comes with a cabin.
That's like a part of it.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
I just imagine him coming, or him or her coming back from the casino very drunk, and like the cuckoo clock goes off at like 3 a.m. and they're like very unhappy about it, and they just like stick the chip in there. Just like, shut up. It's like, stop making noise.
Well, Aaron, one of the big like deals why the reason that it's cracked is because I believe the other the cracked part of it was found in Laura Palmer's mouth or in her stomach. Is that correct?
Oh.
Wasn't that
Wait, really?
Wasn't that the case?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Is that right?
I thought it was, I hope I'm not just making this up.
They found those little letters under her fingernails.
There,
I know that.
Yeah, there was the R under her fingernail. I think it was.
No, I'm pretty sure I read that.
Yeah, there was some. It was a bit of plastic that they found out was from a poker chip, and I think it was in Laura's stomach.
It might have just been at the crime scene.
I think it was in her stomach.
You know what? I think the next episode, when you do your reviews and stuff, this will have to be a part of it.
Yeah, one of us is going to be shown wrong.
Challenge flag on the field.
Sure.
Now, if we could just get really quickly, Wiggy doesn't know about One-Eyed Jax.
Oh.
From what I don't think that's in the pilot. They don't talk about it.
Nope.
No, I kind of read about it, but you can feel free to explain it.
Okay, well, first of all, it's a very exclusive club that you can only get to by boat.
By skiff.
It's a very, you have to have a boat to even consider to be even considered a member.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems very sparse all the time.
It's apparently a casino, but all we've seen is just a prostitute area.
See the back room. Spoilers, in a later episode, you do see the casino floor, and it's a little bit more hopping.
Yeah, because they're in the brothel, and they're literally the only customers there.
Right.
And it's very nicely furnished. It's got a nice log cabin type vibe.
And also a deck of cards theme for some reason, because that's a thing.
And they do talk about how Mr. Horn's brother. What are their names?
That's Jerry Horn. Ben and
Jerry. Jerry Horn. Ben and Jerry.
Yes. Just go with it.
All right, so Ben and Jerry take their boat up to Canada, and Jerry gets to break in the new girl, and they say the new girl is from the perfume counter from the department store.
So Deschanel.
Right, which is something that happens this episode when Audrey applies for the job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we could talk about that scene, because that's a pretty interesting scene as well.
Right.
The scene of Audrey promoting herself.
Ultimate power play.
Yeah. Right. She's really taken charge.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah. Audrey's fantastic.
I don't like her.
What?
I'm in love.
Okay, good.
Billy, I think you've missed some good establishing scenes for showing how.
Yeah, you really did.
Because the first episode, she seems crazy. And in this episode, she literally tries to have sex with an FBI agent and tells a guy she will falsely accuse him of rape. So,
right.
Yeah, no good portrait painting for me of her.
Yeah, and even
I think it's important. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, including her characterization, it's also missing out on Benjamin Horn's characterization. Kind of casts Audrey in a little bit of a different light.
Yeah, and I was gonna say it's important to remember all the messed up stuff that's going on with her family in general.
Yeah.
So she is the most likable person besides her mom,
and
who
Johnny
doesn't really do anything. And Johnny, that's true. He has very nice headdresses all the time.
The most attractive actor on the show, as we discussed two episodes ago. Mike's not
really
comfortable with that. Yeah, if you remember the funeral scene, and just Johnny with his just gorgeous flowing locks, he's clearly the most attractive male actor on the show.
Wow. Okay.
Who's more attractive?
Not even James?
Like, Billy, who do you think is more attractive?
I mean, who... Okay, well, I think you should be asking... The real question you should be asking me is, who's the most dreamy?
Okay.
Yeah. And I guess it's got it... Wow. You know?
Not a lot of attractive guys.
I'm talking physical attractiveness. Like...
Physical attractiveness?
Yes.
If we're just talking about someone that looks good and doesn't contribute anything else, I gotta go with James.
Oh.
I don't think he's that dreamy.
He wants girls to ride away with him on his bike.
He's got a bike.
The biker aesthetic.
This kid bought a bike.
Yeah, biker aesthetic goes a long way.
Vroom vroom. His mom's a prostitute, sort of. Vroom vroom. We get that. That was like the worst scene of the entire episode.
That was a terrible scene.
That is my awful scene. That is my top contender for Batter David Lynch scene.
I guess that's a great transition.
Yes.
I guess, yeah, again, you're talking about the scene where he meets...
At a gazebo.
In a gazebo.
Yeah.
In a true I am 16 going on 17 style.
Oh,
yeah.
Jeez.
And it's just terrible. He's terrible at acting.
It's just the worst.
And also, it was a boring scene.
It was.
That's why I nominated him for most physical attractiveness, because that's all he's doing. That's all he's giving me.
Right.
Because there's nothing else going on.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's vacant. As Laura herself said, he's an idiot.
The best acting he gives the entire show, the entire series, is when we find out in the class in the pilot that Laura's died. And he doesn't say anything. He just breaks the pencil. That's the first scene we really see him with. And I was like, oh, who's this guy? I hope he's good. Nope.
No.
Prepare to be disappointed. Yeah.
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 So my eyes really glazed over in that scene. Was there anything established other than his mom as a prostitute who... goes town to town to...
And his dad isn't dead.
Yeah, what's the deal with his dad?
Wait, his dad just, like, left?
Isn't he dead?
No, he's like... No, they said he does something.
He's, like, just drove off and left.
So boring.
Maybe?
I thought he was, like... He's, like, a musician or something.
Yeah, no, that's it. He's a musician. Oh. You're right.
Hmm.
Another nomination for a scene that I wish existed in this episode would be, like, James reading some of his mom's short stories.
Crying.
After he's told her about all that shit, he pulls it out and he's like, "No, let me read you some."
And it's like Annie Proulx.
Oh yeah, and then Laura's theme would play in the background.
Is that where the music is that plays every episode?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any sort of sappy, like that swelling
teenage love
music? Yeah, that's Laura's theme, I think. Or it is it? Whatever. Doesn't matter.
It's possible that, you know, David Lynch, again, is influenced by West Side Story.
Mm.
I'm not, like, listen, guys, I'm pretty sure he watches that movie all the time.
I mean, it's back in, I can see it. It's, he didn't deal with the whole entertainment saturation that we have going on today. He's got the time. And he has
yeah, that's
the
right. There was
options.
Like seven movies back then.
Exactly. Yeah.
And there
was like Jaws and West Side Story. You can only watch one of the two.
Yeah. The theme of like forbidden love is so common in this show. Every character it has a boyfriend and is cheating on them with someone else and also a different person. It's
A
lot of forbidden love.
And divorce is still not a thing.
Yeah. I guess I have one other Batter David Lynch scene, which is I think this one's actually worse acting. Which is Madeline Ferguson.
Oh.
meeting up with the double R, I believe she... Who did she meet up with? Donna and James?
Donna and James, yeah.
And she's worse than James in this scene.
Oh, you're talking about the actress that is Laura.
Yeah. Also plays Laura. That I did not realize until last episode, I believe.
Was that... So this wasn't her first episode?
No. She...
No.
I think she was two episodes ago.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't hate her. I think she's fine.
Yeah.
I think she has more going on, and like she's at least like, oh, I have more than one layer. I'm thinking of another thing.
Right.
Rather than just like James is like, I pick up objects. I speak word.
I hated the guy drinking coffee behind. I know he's a name, but I thought he was
the owner of the R&R's husband.
Hank.
Oh, yeah. Huey Lewis.
Hank. Yeah. Yes.
Not Huey Lewis.
He looks exactly like Huey Lewis.
God damn it.
He's been in other stuff. I've seen that guy before.
Hmm. Yeah, he...
Like, I just thought he was so bad, he's like, oh, yeah, I'll go, I'll draw clean dishes, please.
Can like, I finish my coffee first?
But yeah, there was a weird, like, holdover on his face for a second, and you're like, don't do this.
Oh, yeah, no, that was weird because we didn't know who he was yet, and that shot in the music was made to be like, oh, shit, this guy was listening to their conversation?
Well, no, he was,
oh,
he
no,
was
we
introduced
know who he
an
is.
Episode before.
Oh, he showed up before?
Yeah. At least one.
He's been in the last two episodes.
We should have watched all the episodes. We should have done it.
Yeah, but he's...
Sorry, guys.
I believe he has his domino keychain out, his hallmark. Yep. I'm not liking this character very much.
Licking domino.
Yeah.
Yep.
I guess I'm trying to think of any other. I guess what's his name? Leo doesn't really have a chance to do bad acting in this episode, even though he usually does, because he yells the entire time. So
yeah,
he can skate by on his okay acting skills by yelling.
Right.
They definitely knew that he could only beat women and look angry.
Mm-hmm. He's good at
and
that.
And he does both things. He's very good at both of those things.
That's all his character needs to do, though. Let's be right.
real. Oh, I want to talk about that scene. This is a very random question, but I was just thinking about it today. Why would the lamp be swaying?
Because the house is never built. Why? Like, okay, I still don't understand why Shelley, like, is still in that relationship. Like, it just doesn't... It drives me insane. She's living in this, like, half-built house with this guy who beats her up with a bar of soap and a sock when she brings him home pie.
And he also has a... Like, he brings home a jacket covered in blood, and she's not very surprised.
I feel like that's happened before. That
yeah.
Yeah.
That's just trucker life.
Right.
That's just what happens out on the road.
I made a note.
You find bloody shirts.
I made a note in this, which was, is Norma Shelley in the future? Because she has the same job. She looks kind of similar. She has a husband that has been in prison for a really long time, and it's implied he's a really shitty guy and
right.
has probably beat her in the past.
I think we are meant to look at her and be like, this is where you're headed, honey. Like,
yeah.
But
you dropped out of high school and now you just have to look forward to horrible men and serving pie.
That would mean that Bobby gets he shacks up with, I don't know, like some character that we don't even know yet or
who's crazy.
At all. Yeah, he just gets with the German waitress that we don't see after the pilot.
Maybe Lara Flynn Boyle's sister that plays piano.
who we've never seen or heard from again.
Right.
But nobody wants to explain to me why that lamp was flying?
I think...
Oh, I don't know. It's just a shitty house.
The only explanation I can give you is that once Leo
like
is
blood splatter?
Shot... No, once Leo is shot, because the house is just shitty and... I never took a measurement.
I just don't like
that
type of shot.
What?
I just don't like that type of shot. I know there's like certain shots in this the pilot and this one that I've been particularly annoyed with. That was one of them where it's just like, why is this a shot you're going to? and to call back to the pilot, just because I really need to get this off my chest, how much I dislike this shot, was the one where Laura's mom is screaming on the screaming.
Yep.
But they just show the phone and they just show the cord.
The sensuous 20-second phone shot. I love that shot.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
And like the scene should have cut after that phone shot, but then it goes back to Laura's mom.
Yep.
Like crying more.
Yep.
Like, incredibly unnecessary, incredibly frustrating. Sorry.
And she redlines the entire time.
Yeah, she just redlines the audio all the way through that.
That does remind me, though, of my favorite shot in this episode, which is the very long tracking shot that follows the donut plate.
Oh, yeah.
Was really good. Even though it, like, did nothing, and I just thought it looked cool. And I was really into the donuts. Now I just want a donut.
Yeah. The only explanation I can give you with the lamp is that Leo hit it in his recoil as he's... getting shot, like either as he's falling down or whatnot, or the more likely
just
explanation,
like a very comical fall.
Yeah, the more likely explanation is that David Lynch just wanted to do it, and so he did it.
Eric, I think you should re-edit that scene where when he falls, it hits something, and in a mousetrap style events, hits over a bunch of objects, leading to the light getting hit.
Sure, nice Rube Goldberg.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
I'll try my best. Yeah, I would actually imagine that being in this show.
No, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I guess we should probably get on to... We've hit worst police work already, yes?
Yep.
I guess we should get over to favorite character.
Yeah.
Actually, hold on. Before we do that, best music cue. Usually, we don't want to do this, but do we give it to Leland Palmer and his jazz dancing?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
100%.
Oh, man. I went a different route. Just because this is the second time that we've seen that, it's kind of a retread territory.
So you think we shouldn't even do that?
Well, I was going to give it to basically whenever my girl Julie Cruz is on the radio, I want to give it to her. Yeah, when they go into the cabin, it's the cabin, right? And Julie Cruz is on the record, and Coop makes the mention that there's music in the air, you know, in line with his dream.
That's a really good song, though.
Yeah, yeah. But I like what it implies, which is a world where everyone loves dream pop, and that's like the only genre of music anyone listens to, including whoever owns that cabin.
I think in the 80s that was the dream.
I would love to listen to like the morning zoo radio programs in this world where they're like, and coming up, and we're gonna play for 5 hours straight this creepy song. By popular request.
Requested by Audrey. Once again.
Audrey.
KXLR, Twin Peaks.
You like coffee? We like coffee.
I guess we should get over to our favorite character.
Yes.
And the question we ask as before every episode, is Dale Cooper the best character in this episode?
Hmm.
I'm going to say no. Anyone say yes?
Wiggy just had to walk away for a second. Is Dale Cooper the best character in this episode?
I think so. I think he wins me over on this episode when he definitely is, like, very into her being 18. That's a great moment.
Sure.
I can't remember his line exactly, but he's like, I'll see you later.
Well, so this is interesting because you don't, you watch the pilot and then this episode, right? And you kind of filled in the wiki.
Like, yeah, I kind of assumed that she's been leading him or trying to like bake him into this sort of thing.
It's like a touching, like they're both flirting with each other.
Yeah.
He less so because he obviously is a professional, well, and he doesn't want to lose his job over her.
Is he that much of a professional? He tries to get the he's done some terrible police work, and he's tried to okay the sheriff punching another FBI agent in the face.
Yeah, he handedly sweeps that under the rug.
I think what more than anything in this world, the FBI seems to be the most lackadaisical. just do whatever you want, man. Like, you want to throw rocks with a chalkboard next to you, go ahead.
If it gets results, do it.
Yeah, I would totally trust this guy in coming into my my town.
Well, that's what I was wondering is if Eric, you're only just now experiencing kind of Coop in his coolness. You know, in the pilot, he's just sort of introduced, but he's not, like, as cool as he becomes. But maybe I'm wondering if you had seen the other episodes before this, you wouldn't be as taken with it. I don't know.
That's probably a good point, but I you know, having not... I mean, I thought he was cool when he did the thing with the letter in the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And that everybody's just like, oh yeah, I'm cool, nice.
Well, that's why that's why we have
trust, and then does a bunch of crappy things with it,
right?
Possibly in the, I mean, maybe he'll solve the case, but
that's why we have the segment at the beginning of is he the coolest? Because it's always a good answer. He's always he's always a solid answer for best character.
So with Dale off the table. Oh, I'm sorry, Billy. What were we saying?
Oh no, I was just gonna say I'm a diehard Kyle MacLachlan fan, so like I don't. Yeah, like that's my opinion would be colored by that.
Yeah. So with Coop off the table, favorite character, I kind of want to give it to Pete Martell in this episode.
Thank you. Thank you.
He has one line, which is, your entire country is above the timberline.
Well, he also asks Catherine not to be on the sauce this time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. And Catherine says, Catherine Martell and spouse. And I was like, oh, God.
I think you guys will agree with me. If they do a remake of Twin Peaks, Scott Adsit from 30 Rock has to play Pete.
Oh, yeah, because the guy, Jack Dance passed away.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be fine if and when they do the reboot, just to have a character that's like the equivalent of Pete. Like the affable fisherman that just, like, doesn't give a shit about the story and he's just nice to everyone.
Sure.
Yeah. Eric, who's your favorite character from this episode with the exclusion of Dale Cooper?
Well, it might just be a bias because he's in the room, but I think it's the log. Mm. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, log, you've been kind of quiet this episode. Is everything going all right, guys?
Well, I fell asleep just like I did watching it. Mm. After the 40 minute mark, I fell asleep, which happened while watching it.
You actually got pretty. You said the 40 minute mark.
Yeah, I would say that also happened to me as well.
So you didn't catch the last 4 minutes?
No, I rewatched it, but like, I was maybe it was an hour before we started recording this, and I was finishing the episode, and I like fell asleep right in the middle of the dancing scene.
Oh.
And then I went back and watched it.
You were on the sauce.
Sure. The sap.
Right. No, Billy was talking to me the other day about this before I really started Twin Peaks. He's like, be ready for the pacing to be super slow and like deadly. And then he was right.
I'm not wrong. I'm definitely not wrong.
The pacing would not fly today. And that's partly why I love that just long 20-second phone shot from the pilot. It's just something so audacious that would never be on television today.
And on network television. No,
ABC.
The theme song would never fly.
Yeah, it's never shortened.
I don't get how it worked. I don't understand how the show... Was it on NBC?
ABC, I thought.
And was it ABC?
It's never truncated. It's always the 2.5 minutes.
It's so long, and then there's just shots of waterfalls and lakes. Mm-hmm.
Birds.
Like, under this, like, super, like, lullaby-like song. Yeah. The most exciting thing that happens is a piece of metal is being sharpened.
Oh, but it's fantastic. It just puts you in the mood, you know? God. Gets me nostalgic.
Yeah, maybe for, like, the Red Green Show.
Kyle, who's your favorite character? We should get back on track.
Sure. I'm going to go with Audrey. Audrey is a freaking badass in this episode, I think. And since she's, spoilers, one of my favorite characters from the series, it's kind of... this is one of the earlier episodes where she's really flaunting how capable she is.
She's getting shit done.
Yeah, she just gets what she wants all of the time.
She's got the best qualities of her dad, and then...
And a moral compass.
More conscious.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And like,
I'd be interested to see what the character's like grown up. Like, if they do... That's the one thing that does intrigue me about the reboot.
Right.
Is seeing, like, what's Bobby like now.
Oh, totally.
What's... Yeah.
I wonder.
Lara Flynn Boyle's character. What's her name?
Donna.
Donna. Like, what's Donna up to? I don't give a shit about James.
Nope. Yep.
He could just ride. If they would just like say in the first episode, like, oh, he rode away on his bike, I'd be like, good.
Mm-hmm. actually, speaking of, well, no, I'll save this. I'll have to save this for season two when it becomes pertinent. But
yeah. I guess before we get to our final segment, we should call
in. Wait, Mike, did you say your favorite character?
Did I say mine? It's got to be Audrey in this episode.
No, you were Pete. Sorry.
Oh, Pete isn't in enough to really be my favorite character.
I'll say Pete. Pete's my favorite.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
He's an honorable mention for me.
Sure.
Before we get to the final segment, I'll talk about our favorite scene. Should we go to the pre-recorded interview we did with David Lynch right before we started recording this?
Yeah.
Just drop it in.
Hey, it's Kyle here.
And Mike, hey.
Yeah, that's Mike. So I was going back and editing last week's episode, and you might...
Last week's episode. They're listening to it now. They're listening to the episode now.
Hold on, let's restart.
No, we're using it.
I'm not using this.
Come on.
We get
It's usable. We're using it. Go.
No,
keep going.
No.
Kyle, keep going. Kyle, keep going.
No, I've laughed too much now.
Kyle, no, we're using this. Kyle, continue speaking.
All right. 3.
No, you're not doing this. You're not doing this, Kyle. I'm not letting you do this. I'm not letting you do this.
I am going to restart.
No, don't do it.
This is already way too long to keep in the app.
No, Kyle, you need to keep it.
It's way too long.
No, you're making it longer.
I know. No, you're making it longer, but not allowing me to just start over from the top.
We're not starting over. We're keeping it as it is. Continue with what you were saying.
Oh, hold on. Now I have to calm down.
Okay. Do it.
Hey. No. Yeah, so if you're
Kyle, continue what you were saying before.
God damn it. I need to restart this.
No, you aren't.
This is going on way too long.
No.
For an insert.
Just do it.
No, I need to restart this.
You're not restarting. I'm not allowing it.
Why not?
I've Dana on the other line. She's not gonna let this happen.
God damn it. No, seriously, Mike.
Kyle, let's just continue.
I don't know why you're so fixated on this.
We can record it again if we need to, but we're gonna finish up this take.
Where was I?
I believe you said you were editing this week's episode that they're listening to right now.
Okay, yeah. So I was editing this week's episode, and yeah, obviously right now what you would be hearing usually is the call with David Lynch that Mike usually has. And I don't know, Mike, do you...
It wasn't good.
Right. Yeah, it just wasn't up to the same Twin Peaks standard that we like to really set for ourselves and for you.
Our two wonderful guests were great. It wasn't their fault. Mm-hmm. It was two people's fault.
Right.
One of them was mine. I did not do a good job interviewing David Lynch.
Sure, yeah.
And Kyle's roommate, David...
Right,
was a bad guest. He was a guest. He was a bad guest.
He was. I don't know. Yeah. He definitely didn't really seem. He seemed kind of blindsided by a lot of the stuff, and he just wasn't really receptive. You know. So
we don't need to overexplain it. They understand it was bad. We've aired bad segments. This time we just got rid of it.
Yeah, it was a nice clean edit point, so we just decided, nope, not doing it. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's out. So
okay. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
Yeah, it's still pretty good.
Bye. So, yeah, that was our conversation with...
You can really tell. You can really tell.
Yeah, that was our conversation with David Lynch. It was a great great to talk to him every week. He's
pretty informative, I'd have to say.
He yells into the phone so loudly. It's... fantastic that he does it. That he takes the time out of his day. He's busy.
Yeah.
I guess we should wrap it up with our favorite scene from the episode.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of real fantastic scenes. I guess let's go with our guests first. Billy, what do you got?
Oh, crap. Can you come back to me?
Sure. Kyle.
I got to think of one.
I will go out and say... this might be your guys's too, but I think that dance scene is just so wonderful.
Ooh.
There's so many like emotions you could like feel in that scene, like while laughing, you like don't know whether to like laugh at him or like kind of laugh, but like no, you shouldn't be laughing.
Right.
Like I mean, I kind of laughed at him.
But you feel bad
as a casual hate watcher of the show.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, I kind of feel bad for him at the same time. Like, I was kind of annoyed when he, like, came into the through the doors earlier and was like, I'm going to try to go back to work.
Yeah.
That's not the first time he's done that on this show, by the way.
I got that vibe.
Yeah.
I got that vibe from, was it his brother just being, like, really annoyed at him?
His employers.
Or the boss.
Ben and Jerry.
Yeah, his employer's just like, seriously, he needs to leave.
Yeah.
Like, please get him
out. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, this girl's brother really fucked up their business.
Yep.
I'm not surprised you thought it was his brother because they look extremely similar, and it's very frustrating for me. I just look for the crying guy now.
What? I'm telling you, man, always look for the glasses. The glasses are going to be Ben Horn.
In the opening scene, which is my favorite scene, which I want to talk about. Well, not the opening scene, but I think it was with the Icelandic guys are dancing, and we see Uncle Jerry and Ben and Leland walks in. That's my favorite scene.
Sure.
Leland does not wear glasses in this episode.
No. Or,
I'm sorry, Mr. Horn doesn't either. No one's wearing glasses.
Wait, no, he's wearing glasses.
He is? Okay, yeah, maybe I'm wrong.
Some of the scenes, at least. I'm not sure if it's every scene, but...
Anyways, that's my favorite scene. Leland looks terrible. He's under so much pressure, but he's trying to do his job when it's obvious that he can't.
Right.
And I thought it was a pretty powerful scene. It's got...
Yeah, you feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, it's
totally.
It's got Jerry hanging around being his goofy self,
talking to Hibba, his Icelandic queen.
Yep. Yeah,
yeah.
I thought it was Hedba.
Is it Hedba?
I think it's Hedba.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
or Hebba.
Hebba.
But yeah, that opening scene with Jerry, Ben, and Leland. I really liked that. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah,
and
some good humanization of Leland.
Yeah, I guess this is also one other thing I really liked from the episode, but I don't know where to put it. They keep referring to P.O. boxes as post office boxes, which is, that's not a thing. People don't do that. It's like it's like when they refer to the videos as, you took pictures.
And
it's not pictures. You took a video.
Or moving pictures, motion pictures, if you will. Yeah.
Anyways, Kyle, what's your favorite scene?
I'm kind of torn. I think I'd have to give it to the psych session, the family counseling session.
Mm-hmm.
It's another strong performance from Bobby. It's more Jacoby. And I think I don't have a better reason than just, it literally is just more time with some of my favorite characters from the show. And they're just interacting. And anytime Garland Briggs is in a scene, it's gonna elevate the scene up in the rankings.
It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh wait, so I've got my scene, and it's one we actually haven't talked about yet. Oh, it's cool. The part where Audrey is spying on Ben and Catherine.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Near the end, because the slap work in that is just on point.
How many slaps? Is it three?
I think it's like
it's four.
Is it four?
It's four.
Okay.
It's three or four.
I thought it was like five or six.
It felt like it. It could have been. it went on forever, and it was just magical.
We'll have to go back and correct and or admit that next week.
Yeah. He says at one point, "Are you done?" And she keeps slapping him.
Oh,
and
great.
Wait. Okay, so I don't think... Because it's in the very first scene when Cooper is... being woken up by the guys, and he starts talking to Diane. What are your guys' opinion on Diane?
She's great.
She's great. Yeah.
Through the eyes of Cooper, we think she's great.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, unfortunately, Kyle has already told me that she does not make an appearance on the show.
Yeah,
she does not.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I was. Yeah, we never find out really.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see if Cooper gets sent those earplugs.
Yeah, so you gotta wait till next week to find out.
Right. Actually, Billy, I was gonna, or I should have asked, have you ever seen Fire Walk With Me, the Twin Peaks movie?
I've seen bits of it. I would like to see it.
Yeah, I've never watched the full thing. I'm not sure if Diane makes an appearance in that. I feel like I remember someone saying, or some synopsis saying that she does.
Well, just so everyone, I guess, here is clear, the movie Fire Walk With Me is actually a prequel, right?
Yeah, kind of. It's
yeah, okay, because we see the lead up to the murder.
Right.
And it's supposed to be viewed after you've seen the show.
Yes. And so it's the lead up to the murder, and it kind of jumps to afterwards.
Right,
so
because
kind of bookends,
one person that
it bookends
like the
show.
Better Call Saul pilot.
Yeah,
there is one guy that does show up in the movie. I know for sure because I've seen the scene on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
David Bowie.
What?
Yep. David
Bowie's in the show, yeah.
So is Kiefer David Bowie's Sutherland?
In the movie. That's right, yeah.
Yep.
Adam Baldwin, I believe, is in it.
Yep.
Or one of the Baldwins is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When was it made?
And then they... it must have been, like, a few years after the show was done.
Yeah, it wasn't too far after. No.
Everyone looks pretty young still. I know they couldn't get Lara Flynn Boyle, so they got... she was on the West Wing for, like, the first season.
I should know this.
Yeah, yeah, Maura Kelly.
Maura Kelly, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, she plays Donna. Lara Flynn Boyle's character? She plays Donna?
Yeah, she plays Donna.
Oh. Yeah, she's... yeah.
I don't like recasting usually.
They had to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the only character that gets recast for the movie, though.
There might be another one, but that's I think that's the most noticeable change.
Right. But Donna's not a great character anyway, so who gives a shit?
That's true. Very true.
She's not in a... It seemed like she was going to be a very main character in the beginning of the show, and we rarely see her anymore outside of talking with James, which
she becomes somewhat more prevalent in the second season.
Yeah,
I mean barely, but
like some interesting action happens around her, but like her character herself is still not great.
And I think she was one of my favorite actresses in the pilot.
Sure, yeah,
I think she's I think she's definitely one of the most talented people on the show.
Right.
I will say without spoiling anything, there is obviously season two was. Unfortunately and abruptly the last season.
Yeah.
So there is some cliffhanger stuff with some characters,
right.
And that includes Donna. So there's some stuff we find out in the last episode that is would have been addressed later.
Right.
And like probably would have been the storyline for season three, but yeah, it's hard to say.
What can you do?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I guess one other thing to mention before we wrap up is the scene with Jocelyn Packard and Ben Horn, they're meeting for some contract of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't care what's going on with Jocelyn Packard. So
why do you keep saying Jocelyn?
I've never cared.
What? What's her name?
Josie.
Oh, God damn it.
Doesn't matter.
It's probably short for Jocelyn, but
yeah. But
he's putting on airs.
Yeah, that scene was. Oh, I'm so sick of the story. I don't care about the mill. I don't care about the mill.
It's unfortunate.
It doesn't matter because it's been shut down since the pilot.
Okay, I've actually been wondering this. So when she tells them to pull the plug, do they ever make it explicitly known that they like she pulled the plug for good or she just shut down the mill for the day?
I thought it was for the day.
Ron at Pulaski's.
I thought it was just for the day.
I think it's for the day, yeah.
Yeah, that was just like a sign of mourning. And
yeah, it was because it's because Laura died and then Renette's dad... works at the mill, right?
Yeah, and so they shut it down to give everyone the day off.
It's a small town, like, I get it.
Right.
Yeah.
So it is still up and running. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Right.
I guess. So we don't really see it.
Yeah. Because it just sucks. The whole storyline there
the show?
Just sucks.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys have anything more to talk about? You're probably not going to be on the show for a while. Any final notes on Twin Peaks?
Season one is very different. Season two is a lot more like they ran out of things to say, and it kind of becomes like The Simpsons.
Okay.
Where it's like, what small ancillary character can we focus on now?
Okay.
I can't wait to come back and talk about some of that crazy stuff.
Season two is pretty different. Yep.
Yeah.
I look forward to starting a good Haywash relationship with this show, going back and keep moving forward. Go back, catch up on 2 through 5, and then moving forward.
Sure.
I think it's a good, like, the way I watched it the first time, I watched it, like, at night.
Hmm.
So it was one of the last things I'd see before I go to bed, and I would just be like, well, that was weird. And then...
And you get to dream about it.
Like that.
You try to trick your brain into tripping in your dreams. To use antiquated drug terminology. I feel like when I first watched the show, I had a very similar reaction to it of just kind of watching it to see just how weird it was going to get. But after a while, I found myself like strangely becoming attached to it. So that might happen to you as well.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I guess a good way to end it would be, I'm curious as to you, Eric, because neither of us know. Do you think that Agent Dale Cooper is going to have sex with Audrey?
I would say,
I'm a shipper. I really hope so.
I think he's down to clown.
Yeah. So I guess
he definitely got the green light when she said 18.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And he, like, that was the first thing he thought of. He was like, the gates have opened.
There's a light bulb just came above his head. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm very excited. I guess, we'll, sign off with our catchphrase. So peep on twinning, everybody.
Peep on twinning.
And we'll close out this episode with a clip of David Lynch talking about his favorite scene in West Side Story.
I don't remember West Side Story.
Oh, no.
All right, bye.